And I had just finished a T-28 that was in Honduras, for God's sake, and had been put in a container ship and sent to Houston, Texas. And I had just finished that plane, and I said I was looking for a project. And I'm not a big hitter in this Warbird thing. I'm a little hitter because I can't keep all my toys. I have to pass them on. So he calls me up and says, we got this Wildcat. And I had grown up and learned to fly by Kalamazoo Air Zoo. And I'd been to the Air Zoo and seen all the cats fly there. I learned to fly at Austin Lake, little grass strip south of town. So I knew what a Wildcat was, but I didn't know anything else. So I called my company pilot and said, we got a mission. And I called my A&P and I said, we're going to Chicago. And I go, Chicago, yeah, we're going to a warehouse in the south side of Chicago. I think Al Capone owned it. And so we get up, it's freezing cold. It's about 10. We fly into MIGS, get a taxi. We go to this airport, and I walk in, and you saw the picture. Here are these two airplanes. And if you ever saw the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind, it was exactly that. You go into these things, and these planes had the oxygen bottles still there. His oxygen mask was still there. The pencil was there. All this stuff, little notes and stuff in the plane. The struts were up. It had gas in the gas tank. Oxygen bottle was full. All this stuff. And it was just sitting there, frozen, from June 1943 to December of 1991. And yeah, I got there first, which is very fortunate, because Dick Hansen is a world-famous Warbird guy and deep pockets and knows what he's doing. And he had restored a P-40 that was on a gas station sign on a highway out in Washington. I mean, that's this guy. So he and Porter are in the parking, and I'm making him wait. And Mark goes, no, I have a buyer looking at these planes. And I'm going, shit. And I got now, okay? I got now. And I know Schroeder's coming. I thought Dick would buy both of them. That's what I thought was going to happen. You know, parts or whatever. And so I do what every married person does. And I've been married 49 years. And I called my wife and said, I got this airplane. It's $250,000. It's filled with mud. It's been in Lake Michigan for 48 years, and I can buy it right now or never. And she said, go for it. And forever that changed my life. And now our airplane is on permanent display in Hawaii at the Ford Field Pacific Museum. And if you ever get a chance to go see it, I'd appreciate it. I also have brochures in case anybody's really interested in the minutiae of this for free after we're done. Thank you.
So he left a couple very key important things out. One is, normally there's a magnesium part of the assembly on these aircraft. This aircraft, for some reason, the engine stayed on when we lifted it up. His aircraft, the engine didn't. So he demanded that I sign a contract with him that we would recover the engine within 6 months. His aircraft was a lot deeper than this aircraft. We succeeded, and he and his A&P did a very interesting thing. When we recovered the engine, they immediately put it in a box truck, and the mechanics started disassembling it and putting everything in oil. So it was really, I thought that was kind of cool. But the thing that really pissed us off, because when he made his offer, I told Mark no, and probably Mark remembers this. I, in A&T Recovery, I'm the kind, gentle, sweet, understanding part of A&T Recovery. And so anyway, so I said no to his offer. And my partner said, hell no, tell him to get lost. Because his offer was that T-28. And it wasn't because it was a T-28, it's because it had the Michigan State goofy emblem on the back of it. Anyway, so Mark finally convinced me to say yes, and then Mark had to fly it with me and him back, so we accepted it. Anyway, so then Mr. Hansen and Mr. Porter came in, so it's your stage.
Okay, is this working? Can you hear me?
Yep.
Or maybe this one would be better. Okay, good. Well, my good friend from the Aurora Airport and I were invited, as you heard from Mark, to go look at this. And as soon as we walked in, we were amazed at the condition of these underwater artifacts. It took us less than 7 minutes to create a partnership to restore it. And we did, in fact, of course, accomplish that. And amazingly, the condition of these airplanes was so good that we didn't have to clean out the inside, or we didn't have to repaint the inside of the fuselage. We just scrubbed it up. Wheels came up when you cranked them up with the chain, and there was air in one tire. We put the air chuck on the other one, and it pumped it up, and we used them for the restoration period. As Dave mentioned, there was pilot's O2 in the oxygen tank, and the battery we took out and poured water out and put electrolyte in. It took a charge, and the plexiglass was so good we reused it, and I think that's windshield screen is the original plexiglass unless they've replaced it. And the airplane was so clean in the cockpit there was hardly any silt after 48 years in the water. And amazingly also that the pilot's glare shield, which was a leather glare shield, was flexible, and we reused that. Everything in the cockpit except the throttle quadrant was reused, and many of the electrical termination boxes we could reuse. And we did do testing on the metal to make sure it was sound, and there was no corrosion inside the landing gear. The fuselage had hardly any corrosion in it. The wings, however, were not made by Grumman. They were subcontracted out, and they did not have the same corrosion protection that Grumman was famous for. So the wings had corrosion inside the box bars, and they were remanufactured by Ezel Aviation in Breckenridge, Texas. And the main restoration was done by Blackhawk Aviation in Janesville, Wisconsin. And as I say, the airplane was in such good shape that we were able to get it airborne from the time it came out of the water in less than 2.5 years. We didn't reuse the engine. We were able to get another engine and from a DC-3 type. And the original airplane had electric propeller. We could not find one, so we put a hydraulic propeller on it. And in an interesting human relations standpoint, I wanted to see if the pilot who put it in the water was still alive. And we had his name, we had the accident report. He was blamed for not having the throttle all the way forward. But the underwater pictures that Taras took showed the throttle quadrant all the way forward. Since we had his name, and we found out that he had gotten a civilian pilot's license when he was discharged from the Navy, so we had a Social Security number. I wrote a letter to the Social Security Department and explained to them if he was still in their system, would they please forward this letter to him, self-addressed and so forth, or a stamped letter, and explain why. And of course, I never heard from them. But then maybe a month and a half later, I got a telephone call from John Forsberg, and he was in fact alive. In fact, he lived in Chicago, suburban Arlington Heights. And I called Jim Porter. We went over and visited him. And he was so pleased to see that he was not at fault, as they said in the accident report. We showed him the picture. And the first thing his wife said is, "See, John, I told you all these years, you were right, and they were wrong." So, we had the airplane. I got to fly it for about 65 hours, and Jim Porter for about 25. And then we were able to turn the airplane over to Steve.
Let me see. So I want to tell you how small the world is. And he mentioned it's Blackhawk Aviation. I'm a registered federal lobbyist, and back about 10, 15 years ago, I'm walking down one of the halls of the House office buildings. And coming down the other way is the Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan. You remember him? Paul Ryan. And he looks at me and he says, "You look really familiar." And I said, "Okay." And I said, "Yeah, maybe. Maybe you saw me in the news. I'm the guy who recovers the World War II aircraft." And he says, "I saw that Wildcat fighter at Black Hawk Aviation." And I don't know if he was in college and might have had a job there or whatever. I don't know. But he knew who I was based on, and he knew this aircraft. So anyway, so that's how small the world is, right? So you and Mr. Porter sold it to Mr. Craig. And I'll leave it to you. Go ahead. Tell him the story.